CeeLo Productions presents Backstage Access. I'm your co-host, Scott Lowe.
And I'm your co-host, Tony Gonzalez.
And in this podcast, we discuss all things in the world of Christian music and entertainment. All right. Thank you for joining us this week on Backstage Access. Our guests today are Matt and Kristen from These Beautiful Ruins. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing great, Scott. What's up, Tony?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
We're doing good. We're excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah. We're excited that you're here. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Really, really appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to hang out with us and, you know, make us relevant, because nobody without you guys would know who we are. So,
right.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, we're just honored to be here with you tonight. And, man, we've just carved out the evening for you guys. So, just really honored and really appreciate you having us on tonight.
That is so cool. Thank you.
Good deal. Really appreciate That's it.
Awesome. We get to meet face to face here pretty soon.
I know. Next
it's
week.
It's going to be awesome, man.
We do.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Right.
It's and getting so close, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Counting down. I'm excited. And so let's just go ahead and kick this off. If you guys don't mind, you know, for our listeners who maybe they're familiar with your guys' music, but maybe they don't know like your guys' personal stories. If you don't mind, you guys just kind of sharing with our listeners what your guys' personal journeys are.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll let Kristen volunteer. Oh, okay. Kristen will do the she's the icebreaker. Yeah,
there you go.
Volunteers as tribute.
Yeah. So These Beautiful Ruins began back in 2016 when me and Matt met for the first time. Before then, I was doing a lot of my own music, writing songs, recording, and playing with the band that I had at the time. And I actually met Matt through Facebook. So I was looking to network with other musicians in the surrounding area, local musicians, and I came across Matt, and he was a worship leader at his church at the time. I thought that was really cool, so reached out to him, and we got coffee, and the rest is history from there.
Oh, nice.
So we formed These Beautiful Ruins because you know, my musical background and then his musical background, you know, we thought it'd be cool to bring it together and form a band. And so, you know, we started from there and, you know, released a few songs recently. Our newest one, I Will Rise, just came out about a month ago. And, you know, really excited for what God's doing in our music ministry. And, you know, and growing up, I had a, my family is very musical. My mom, she sings, and my dad plays piano. So, I was really inspired by them. It's kind of how it started for me. As a little girl, I remember singing with my mom in church, and dad would be playing the piano. And that's something that's very special and just kind of inspired my love for music. I picked up a guitar and started playing when I was 10 years old.
Wow.
Taught myself to play. Been playing guitar ever since. And I appreciate all the times that Mom and Dad let me turn up my amp in my bedroom and just and play and practice. You know, Dad would come home from work and he'd hear me playing, and he would just be really encouraging and things like that. So that's always a great memory. I played sports, a little bit of sports when I was in middle school, but then I realized it wasn't exactly for me, that I wanted to focus more on music. And so at my church, we had a youth band, and we'd have several people kind of rotate in and out every week. And it was just an awesome thing. My mom and dad were actually the youth pastors during the time that I was a teenager and growing up in my youth group. And they, you know, they'd take us to concerts, different things like that. So just really have those musical roots, you know, since I was young, and grew up listening to all the, you know, the Christian rock bands and things like that have really inspired my love for music. Just really excited to continue that journey with my husband with These Beautiful Ruins. So I also came to know the Lord at a young age. I just, you know, my parents were youth pastors. I grew up in a Christian home. they taught me about the love of Jesus from an early age, and I just knew that that's what I wanted to do, was to love the Lord and follow him. And, you know, since then I've been really grateful for the Christian roots that have been instilled in me as I've, encountered, you know, different hardships and, you know, rough patches that, you know, we all go through as adults and things like that, that I have my faith, that I can turn to and have that hope in Jesus, you know? Whereas I feel like if that hadn't been instilled in me from a young age, maybe things would be different and I wouldn't be following, the Lord. And of course, you know, we all go through trials and things, but I'm, you know, really grateful for those roots that were instilled in me from a young age. That's
nice.
Did you
want to
share yours?
Sure. Yeah. Man, I just love my wife, and she's a big part of my testimony. I'll kind of dive into my story. Trying to think where to start. Yeah, I mean, I grew up love both of my parents, but I grew up in an environment where drugs and alcohol were like right there, all the time, every day. And, my mom wasn't addicted to anything. It was mostly my dad. I would come home, man, and just things were just so dysfunctional, within the household and everything. No matter what, like, I was raised to go to church, just like Kristen was talking about. I was raised to go to church every Sunday. And so my parents, they instilled in me at a young age too, who Jesus was. And, you know, you're to go to church on Sundays and those things. And so those seeds were planted with me. I mean, I was going to church from the time I was a little baby, you know, I would come home and drugs and alcohol and all that stuff was just a product of my environment, growing up. And, long story short, I think I started smoking pot at like 12 or 13 years old or something like that. And, I just remember looking at myself in the mirror the first time I had gotten high, and I was like, man, I love this. And man, I finally know who I am. I finally feel like I'm a part of something. And I just remember feeling that for about 2 hours. And then I remember that fleeting feeling completely passing away after that 2 hours had passed. And, you know, because the drugs wear off,
right?
You know, and then you're left there with, you know, your brokenness. And, my addiction really progressed. My parents were kind of like trying to put me on different medications. I had severe ADHD problems, couldn't focus in school, you know, really could not sit still. My mind was racing constantly. Wheels just never stopped turning, in my mind. And, you know, they were just trying to find a solution to slow the wheels down inside my head, you know?
Right.
So I was getting put on different medications. Well, I mean, like, I was going to school and just selling all the pills that they were paying so much money for, whether it was Adderall or it doesn't really matter what it was, but I was taking that stuff to school and selling it. And then, it didn't take long before I was, known as the drug dealer of my school and, one of the biggest drug dealers in Indiana. I ended up getting hooked on acid and ecstasy for like a year straight, and, literally took my mind to another place. And, throughout, you know, a product of my drug addiction, I ended up, becoming a 4-time convicted felon at the age of 18. And, so I'd been in and out of jail a few times. Funny enough, I waited until I got in trouble as a juvenile. Like quite a few times. I remember being a juvie and stuff, but like, I really didn't start doing some really stupid stuff until I was like 18, you know, until I was fully an adult, can be charged as an adult, you know what I'm saying? So, I think the drugs were doing a really good job on frying my brain. I don't know. hopefully that helps somebody tonight as they listen to this podcast. But so I was in and out of jail a few times. So back in 2009, I had gotten locked up. And I mean, guys, I was out at like three. This is how bad things were for me. I was out at like 3 o'clock in the morning, busting out windows of cars and tearing down doors of businesses to rip out their safes and ATMs and dragging them down the street.
Wow.
Wow.
With a chain hooked to my car. And I'm just being honest with you, after snorting like 13 Xanaxes, it just sounded like a good idea, right, you know, at the time. And I'm breaking all this down and being vulnerable about it to just kind of highlight who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has become for me, because there's a verse that talks about the renewing of your mind. And to go from my thoughts being, man, let me go steal an ATM and drag it down the street with my car, to none of those thoughts crossing my mind, you know, just years later. But anyway, sorry, in 2009, I got locked up in a jail in Indiana. And while I was in there, I'd spent a year inside that jail. And I don't even know if I was really looking for Jesus. I don't know if I was looking for a light, but I remember being in this 10-foot by 10-foot room. I was in solitary confinement. So I was, I'd gotten in trouble within the jail for the time that I was in there. I'd gotten in some trouble and got put in there for like, I think I was in there for like 90 days or something like that. So I was in a 10-foot by 10-foot room for like 90 days.
Wow.
For 3 months. And, I remember one night I just cried out. I remember just fully breaking down. And the next thing that I remember is there was a light that came into the room. And I remember it being Jesus. That's all I can say. Like, I didn't physically see this being come into the room with me, but I could feel his love for me. I could feel that he was genuine, that he was who he says he was. You know, I had just like I had said, I'd been raised in church my whole life because of my parents. Like, they did instill that into me at a young age. But I went to Jesus. I went to church all those years, but I didn't meet Jesus until 2009 when I was locked up in this little 10-foot by 10-foot room. And that was the first time I'd met Jesus, and I knew exactly who he was, that there was no chance that he didn't exist. You know, I was just in that moment, I was completely sold out for Jesus. And I just remember him coming into the room and speaking to my heart. You know, you think you've been having fun with this stuff, man. You leave all that behind, and I'm going to show you a life you never dreamed imaginable. And, you know, that, guys, that's literally all I've been doing is, it's like a daily reprieve for me to find Jesus and to look for him and to submit to Jesus. It's a daily reprieve for me. You know, I find things daily that I need to submit to him. And, you know, I'd been court ordered to, when I got out of jail, I was court ordered to go to NA meetings and AA meetings. And, because I was on home incarceration for like a year. And so I had to be at my mom's house because that was really the only place I could go at the time. I was court ordered to stay with my mom. Literally could not walk out onto her balcony, or else cops would pull out in the front yard.
Wow.
And take me to jail. And, and so I was like, yeah, I'll go your stupid meetings, you know what I'm saying, just to get out of my mom's house. And long behold, I ended up getting clean there. I did relapse a few times. It was like relapse after relapse. I remember coming home for a while, and man, I just had a nightstand that was dedicated to these white key tags where I just kept falling down. I kept falling down, but the good thing is I kept getting back up, and I kept coming back. And I started to apply some things. these people in the room were suggesting or telling me to change all old people, places, and things. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're like 50 years older than me. You know, I don't really belong here. I'm just here to get my court card signed kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And those guys were really knew what they were talking about, because once I eventually really had enough of drugs and alcohol and knew that I was either going to die or spend the rest of my life in a prison, I eventually took their advice and stopped. I stopped hanging out in old people, places, and things, and started to develop new ones. And because of that, my clean date is October 2nd of 2011. And it hasn't changed since then.
Awesome. So congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, man. All praise to God. But I say all that because that's the understanding of Jesus that I have. Mm. You know, he rescues us from a very dark place when nobody else is around. You know, even when he's our last, even when he's like our last, the last thing for us to run to, he's still standing there.
Right.
And there's a verse that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And those who would open the door, they, I'll allow them to come in and eat with me. And that's been a verse that's really been on my heart for a long time, because I've literally seen that happen. And he's not very descriptive in what he says in that verse. Like anybody can come and open that door. And he's standing at the door knocking for every single last person. And no matter what you've done, you know, he was out there waiting for me at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. we just love Jesus, man. And it's all his glory for everything that he's done, with everything, with our music, because I still remember him making that promise with me. Like, if you leave all this behind, I'm going to show you a life you never dreamed imaginable. And so now I get to sit here with my wife. We're coming up on 5 years, our 5th year anniversary, awesome. Being married this year. And man, that's exactly what I have. And then to be able to pursue our music with these beautiful ruins is just really special to us. We're just so grateful that we can encourage people, you know, and hopefully shine a light in their life, you know. And that's basically the message of our music, is no matter how dark it is, there's always a light. There's always hope.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think I'll cut off my story right there.
No, we really, really appreciate it. And really appreciate you, you know, being so vulnerable and sharing. You know, anybody that's listening, you know, like Matt said, you know, you're struggling with addiction. It's not the end. Jesus is able to help us to break those chains of addiction, break those chains of depression. You know, he's done it in my life. Tony has shared on a previous episode of the podcast. God's done it for him. So, man, thank you guys so much for sharing your story and being, you know, being so vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great testimony, Matt. Thank you. That was very inspiring, you know, to the listener. Wow, that's so awesome where you came from and where you're at now and everything that you have in your life and the music that you're making and just the blessings. And it's really inspiring. So I thank you for sharing your testimony and you know, I'm hoping somebody out there that hears this podcast, it inspires them.
Oh, we just really appreciate you guys having us on here. And yeah, we just hope that it shines a light for people who are listening, you know.
Right, right, yeah.
I'm curious, listening to, you know, Kristen's story, and I know that, you know, she said you guys had met through Facebook, and then Matt, when Kristen had met you, you were a worship leader at your church. What was that transition? I know you said in 2009, you know, you gave your life to Christ, and, you know, you went through the recovery program, and, you know, you had a couple of relapses, but how did you find yourself going from that to being a worship leader at your local church?
That's a really good question. So yeah, I mean, I've been playing music my whole life. I too, just like Kristen had said, I'm just so grateful that when I was blaring my amps back in my bedroom, that my mom and dad had just come in there and kick down the door, and
right?
Tell me to shut up, you know. No, man. If anything, my mom would come back there and tell me to turn it up, like it wasn't loud enough, and she'd be sitting in the living room listening to me. And
that's awesome.
And I can tell you right now, guys, it didn't sound good. Whatever she was hearing did not sound good back then.
Hey, it sounded beautiful to her ears, man. She knew you were onto something, brother.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think 13 or 14, 15 years old, I jumped into a Metallica cover band with my friends. And
oh, wow. Okay.
So we were actually a Metallica tribute band, and we're actually playing a lot of shows and everything. And that's actually one thing that kind of fueled my addiction at the time, because most of the guys that were in the band, one of my drummer had actually introduced me to some drugs, and like, oh, heck yeah, man, let's do it. You know, why not?
Right.
To better answer that question, after I'd gotten saved, I remember sitting outside, and it was like a really beautiful spring day. And I was just like, man, I had gotten some time clean. I'd put some time together and was clean. And, you know, when you first get clean, you start to feel really, really good. Right. You know, that's the hope for people, is if anybody's listening right now and you're addicted, you just can't even put a minute or an hour together of clean time. Right. Just know that it gets better, and it gets better really, really quick.
Yes, it does. Amen.
God, I felt like God was, that day, God was like blessing me with this supernatural feeling that could only come from Him. And I literally felt high on life at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting outside on my dad's deck, and it was like a beautiful spring day. I still remember the wind blowing. It was just like perfect. And I remember just asking God, I was like, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, literally, I think I just got off the phone with a college. I thought about going to school. And I don't know why I did that, because I didn't do good back in school anyways. I was, like I told you guys, I was slinging dope in the hallways.
Right.
And couldn't stay awake in class. Like, probably shouldn't do that, you know. Anyways, I just got off the phone with a college, and right after I hung up from them, I remember talking to God and being like, what do you want me to do with my life? What exactly am I supposed to be doing? Like, why do my feet hit the ground every day? And after I'd said that prayer, and I'm not making this up, the church that I was raised in for 18 years, it was a very small traditional style church that I'd been raised in. If we had 30 members, we were a mega church.
Wow.
You know, on a Sunday morning. And so I grew up in a very small traditional style hymn led, church. Mm. I didn't even know about contemporary worship until way later in my life. Mm. And, anyways, that church had reached out to me, and the lady that was taking care of our music, she had come down with some health problems. And the lead pastor had reached out to me. He knew that I'd been playing music. He knew that I wasn't playing Jesus music, though. So I'm still pretty curious as to why he reached out to me. But he reached out, and he said, Matt, hey, man, I just had a conversation with our staff here at the church. And, you know, the lady that he told me the condition of, the lady that had been doing the music and her health conditions. And he said, you know, we'd love to give you an opportunity to, you know, would you be our worship leader of our church? And I remember telling him, like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, right. But you know what's funny is God had already, like, set it up, because the week prior to that, a buddy of mine had reached out from a church, and he was like, hey, man, our worship leader wants to know if you could fill in on guitar this week for our church. Mm-hmm. Our guitar player got sick. and last minute he can't make it to, you know, he can't make it this week. Is there any chance that you'd be open to learning 5 or 6 new songs? I was like, sure. especially once I figured out there were like 4 chords, you know, right, all yeah. those songs. It was like, okay, I can probably pull this off, maybe. And so anyways, like, that was just brilliant. Because I remember playing those 5 or 6 songs that week. And then when the pastor had called me and asked me if I'd be the worship leader, I was like, well, I'll give it a shot. And at least I know what our set list will look like for next week. Because those were the only 5 Christian songs that I knew at the time. So I was like, we'll just play those, you know, and we'll build up, you know, every single week. And so I hope that answered your question, but that's kind of how I started getting into worship leading. And Kristen and I have had the privilege of leading worship in several different other churches since then. And I've been on staff at a handful of different churches. We've led worship for a church up in Michigan, and which was an absolute honor, amazing team up there that we got to work with. But yeah. And so, yeah. And all the while we've been, you know, building these beautiful ruins up, and, you know, we just love what we get to do together, you know, as a husband and wife, and, to be able to try to speak life into people and encourage them that, hey man, this world does get tough, whether you're clean or whether you're, you know, out there using.
Right.
This world's really tough.
Yeah, it is.
But there is a hope and there is a light, and you can get through any situation if you have the light with you. You know, if you've got God with you, and he stands at the door and knocks for every single person. If you've received him as your savior, you know, you can get through every situation that you're facing. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
So I got a question. The song Lord Comes Down, man. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, what inspired you guys to write that song? I mean, it is just, wow. Very impressive.
Well, thank you so much. For one, yeah, that was our very first song that we released and that we wrote together.
Wow.
And it's really based off of Matthew's story, his testimony, you know, praying for the Lord to come down and save him and his life. But it's funny, we were actually, he and I were actually just looking around at a guitar center at the time. And we were in the acoustic room, and he grabbed the guitar off the wall, and we sat down, and he was just kind of playing around on the guitar. And
it was storming outside. I remember it was like one of those storms where you can hear the rain smashing through the roof.
Nice.
Yeah. So it just kind of set the tone. We were just in this acoustic room, and he had this beautiful guitar, and we could hear the rain outside. And he just started playing this melody and started just that line, just Lord, come down, find me where I am, just kind of came, you know, these old walls are coming down. And so that song was basically born at Guitar Center.
Wow, really? That is so cool. What a cool story. That's awesome.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. We're glad you're liking it.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving your guys' stuff, man. I was listening to it a couple hours ago before Scott got here, and I was like, wow, man, you know, you guys are pretty awesome.
Dude, that's cool, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
We're honored. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that, like Kristen said, that song was probably written it wasn't fully written at Guitar Center, but I think we probably had it about halfway done before we left.
Are you serious? Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. That is so cool. Your guys' influences, I'd really love to know. You know, Matt, you said you were in a Metallica tribute band, which kind of makes me believe that you've got some, you know, heavy metal background influences. And can you guys just run me through, you know, as you guys were growing up? I know it was, you were doing some of the worship stuff, but also, you know, who were you guys' influences that really just kind of touched you and said, wow, man, I really, you know, I want to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, man. Yeah, Tony, definitely. I would put Metallica as like my main influence, at least growing up before mm-hmm. I didn't even know Christian music like existed as far as like a contemporary or even rock.
Right.
You know, I didn't even know that was out there. So, yeah, Metallica was like the top. I mean, I was listening to Slayer, some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pantera, you know, that I would put that one up there too as a top contender. I mean, once I got saved and everything and realized that, man, there's a whole world of Christian music out there that,
right,
you know, kind of speaks life into your soul. Definitely Disciple, Red.
Nice.
I think Kristen is actually the one that introduced me to Disciple. So got to give her props. I got to give her props.
Good job.
I remember hearing Kevin like do this wail of a scream, and I was like, what is this? This is so cool.
Right? He is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Definitely love Breaking Benjamin as well. Some Evanescence. But I'll let Kristen jump in there now. She's like chomping.
She's ready. She's ready to jump in. Come on. Come on.
Right.
She's what you're talking to.
No. No, it's all good. Yeah, I mean, I would say for me, you know, I grew up, you know, I started listening to Christian music at an early age. But a lot of my influences when I was growing up, when I was like a young kid, teenager, was, you know, a lot of the Christian bands that, you know, were more popular back in the day, you know, Switchfoot, I know they're still popular today, but Switchfoot, Reliant K, Barlow Girl, you know, all those bands really played a significant role in my influence back then. But as I grew, and there was, believe it or not, a Seventh-day Slumber concert in my hometown, and it was the first Christian rock concert that I had ever attended. Me and my family went. My younger brother, he was just a toddler. I guess he was just a toddler at the time. My dad had him up on his shoulders, and we were watching Seventh-day Slumber, man, just light it up. And it was
That's just awesome.
And from there, I kind of started listening to more of like the heavier bands and heavier rock bands. And I would say from the time I was a young teenager to now, my biggest influence is probably Lacey Sturm from the band Flyleaf. I remember having Flyleaf posters, you know, taped to my bedroom door, along with Evanescence and Disciple and Fireflight. So I would say those were big influences, to name a few, but definitely Lacey Sturm of Flyleaf for sure. Wow.
So as we kind of wind down and bring this episode to a close, you know, for our listeners that have been tuning in, what are some ways that they can find your guys' music? What are some ways that they can, you know, maybe buy merchandise or just stay up to date with what you guys are working on?
And, definitely, talk about the jewelry, because I was looking on your guys' Facebook and you guys got some really cool stuff. I was like, wow, that's really cool. You know, you don't see that at many merch booths, and they've got some really cool, you know, bracelets and stuff like that. So
nice.
Where do you just tell us how to, you know, where can we go? Where can we go to buy it? What websites? And just like Scott said.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you guys so much. Our jewelry is handmade. It's really fun to be able to put that together. But as far as where you know, our listeners, you know, can support us, you know, obviously Facebook. You know, we're very active on our Facebook page, Instagram, TikTok. We have an X account. So you can follow us on pretty much all those platforms. Would be awesome. As far as our merchandise, we are still constructing and working on a website to get our merchandise posted on there and for people to be able to, you know, keep up to date with what we're doing through that, through the website. But until then, you know, if anybody would like to purchase merchandise, they are more than welcome to either email us or to reach out to us through our Facebook. Let us know, you know, what size t-shirt they would like, or if they would like a piece of jewelry, and we would be more than happy to ship that out to them.
Oh, nice.
And work that out with them until we're able to get our website up and running. But yeah, we just, you know, if any follows are definitely appreciated on our social media platforms.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. We're definitely most active on Facebook and Instagram, but, yeah, there's also TikTok, and then we're we really encourage everybody to kind of start watching too, because there's a music video we're about to release for "I Will Rise."
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just we don't have a release date yet, but we're having those conversations with our video team right now. So, but yeah. Music video coming.
Nice.
"I Will Rise."
All right. Yep. Cool.
Awesome.
And for those who haven't heard, you know, our newest single yet, "I Will Rise," be sure to, you know, give it a download, give a listen on Spotify. You can find all of our music on Spotify, Apple Music, all streaming platforms, anywhere you download music.
Nice. Awesome.
Good deal. Do you guys have like a Patreon or anything like that for people that, you know, maybe they want to come alongside you guys and support you financially, you know, so that you guys can continue your music ministry. Do you guys have a Patreon or any sort of funding page?
Absolutely. Yes, we do. And, you know, anything, you know, is appreciated, any amount that anybody would like to donate. But yes, we have a Patreon, Venmo or Cash App. Anybody who feels it on their heart to donate, we greatly appreciate that.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we appreciate you guys too. Thanks for helping us out, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
our pleasure. Thank you for giving us that time.
Yeah.
Well, we truly appreciate you guys for real, and this has been an absolute honor and a blast to be on your podcast today.
Thank you,
man. We've really enjoyed hanging out with you guys.
Likewise, really you guys are
you, Scott and Tony.
You guys are a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a really, really good time, and
so are you.
We're so appreciative of you guys for doing this podcast with us, but also for your music ministry.
Absolutely.
And just obeying God to take that step, because, you know, as you guys know, and several other musicians can vouch, it's not easy. It's not an easy life. It's not an easy path. But the fact that you guys were obedient and doing what you guys are doing is absolutely amazing. So really, really appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. We really appreciate it, bro.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. And looking forward to seeing you guys next Thursday. Nice. For anybody in the Indianapolis area, May 2nd at 7 p.m., we're going to be doing a show with Chaotic Resemblance, These Beautiful Ruins, and Indigo Sky. It will actually be Indigo Sky's first live performance ever. So
cool.
Yeah, so we're gonna make history at the Hoosier Dome. So
yes, we are.
Hey, we're really excited about the May 2nd show, man. And just like you heard, Scott, get your tickets now for the May 2nd Hoosier Dome show.
Yes.
Come out and hang out with us.
Heck there, yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we really hope that you guys have a good night.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Thank you, guys.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
All right.
All right.
See ya.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.